Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memorabi of Ram Gold High and Thirma Zekas Yavamas Daf Ein Ches, the 8th Paraka Oro. Before I begin, I want to make a very important public service announcement for all of our members who receive our materials via WhatsApp. Our number has changed. It's very important to save our new number in your contacts to continue to receive the materials. Our new number is 973-370-4061. Again, it's 973-370-4061. So the three dots we're going to focus on. Number one, the pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi Gerim states, Bani Mashi Yavaldu Lahem Dor Shlishi Yavo Lahem B'Kal Hashem. Sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kal of Hashem. It was taught in a brisa, if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned? And vice versa. If sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said, Ben Rishon V'Sheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the pasuk says, Doros, generations. And if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said, La'osana Omdim Har Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai, which Rashi explains to mean that we would have thought that the first and second generation of Jews standing at Har Sinai were prohibited to marry Mitzri and Edomi Gerim, but the third generation of Jews would be permitted to marry them. Therefore, the Torah teaches sons, which is clearly referring to the Mitzri and Edomi sons. Pointing to the Gemara explained that the reason the Reuven ruled that the status of a child of Mitzri Gerim is after its mother is because the Pasuk says, Ashi Yivaldu, who are born to them. But in general, we rule that the child's status goes after its father, and we do not say, Uber ki yerachimo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother. The Gemara asks how this fits with what Rava said, that Nachris Mu'uber Shiniz Gaira, but not Ein Tzarech Tefillah. If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require tevila. If the child is not considered the thigh of its mother, part of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity, why does the child not require its own tevila? And if you're going to answer the Rabbi Yitzhak, said the Torah laws regarding chatzitza, rubo umakmid olav chotzetz, rubo ve'eno makmid olav eno chotzetz, that a chatzitza that covers the majority of the body and that one objects to is chotzetz, but one that covers the majority of his body and he does not object to is not chotzetz. And therefore, since the fetus does not object to being covered by his mother's body, her body is not a chatzitza and the tefillah is valid. But Rav Kahana said that this rule only works when the majority is covered, but a chatzitza that covers the whole body is a chatzitza. The Gemara answers, Shani uber dahinu revise. A fetus is different since this is the way it develops. Therefore, the mother's body is not a chetzitza. And point number three, it's part of the background of David's decree that the Nesim are not permitted to marry into the Kahal. The Gemara writes that there was a famine in the land for 3 years. The first year, David said that perhaps it's because there are idol worshippers among them. They went and checked, and there were none. The second year, he said that perhaps there are people who act promiscuously among them. They went and checked, and there were none. The third year, he said, perhaps it's because there are those who pledge stock in public who do not fulfill their pledge. They went and checked, and there were none. David said, Eina davatuli elobi, the matter of the famine hinges on me. He asked the Urim Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul, in that they did not eulogize him properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi Gerim states, Bani Meshe Yavaldu Lehem Dor Shlishi Yavo Lehem B'Kahal Hashem. Sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kal of Hashem. It was taught in a brisa, if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned? And vice versa. If sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said, Ben Rishon V'Sheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the pasuk says, Doros, generations. And if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said, La'osana Omdim Har Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai, which Rashi explains to mean that we would have thought that the first and second generation of Jews standing at Har Sinai were prohibited to marry Mitzri and Edomi Gerim, but the third generation of Jews would be permitted to marry them. Therefore, the Torah teaches sons, which is clearly referring to the Mitzri and Edomi sons. Pointing to the Gemara explained that the reason the Reuven ruled that the status of a child of Mitzri Gerim is after its mother is because the Pasuk says, Ashi Yivaldu, who are born to them. But in general, we rule that the child's status goes after its father, and we do not say, Uber ki yerachimo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother. The Gemara asks how this fits with what Rava said, that Nachris Mu'uber Shiniz Gaira, but not Ein Tzarech Tefillah. If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require tevila. If the child is not considered the thigh of its mother, part of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity, why does the child not require its own tevila? And if you're going to answer the Rabbi Yitzchak, said the Torah laws regarding chatzitza, rubo umakmid alav chotzetz, rubo ve'enu makmid alav enu chotzetz, that a chatzitza that covers the majority of the body and that one objects to is chotzetz, but one that covers the majority of his body and he does not object to is not chotzetz. And therefore, since the fetus does not object to being covered by his mother's body, her body is not a chatzitza and the tefillah is valid. But Rav Kahana said that this rule only works when the majority is covered, but a chatzitza that covers the whole body is a chatzitza. The Gemara answers, Shani uber dahinu revise. A fetus is different since this is the way it developed. Therefore, the mother's body is not a chetzitza. And point number three, it's part of the background of David's decree that the Nesim are not permitted to marry into the Kahal. The Gemara writes that there was a famine in the land for 3 years. The first year, David said that perhaps it's because there are idol worshippers among them. They went and checked, and there were none. The second year, he said that perhaps there are people who act promiscuously among them. They went and checked, and there were none. The third year, he said, perhaps it's because there are those who pledge stock in public who do not fulfill their pledge. They went and checked, and there were none. David said, Eina Davatuli Elobi, the matter of the famine hinges on me. He asked the Urim and Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul, and that they did not eulogize him properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Ayin Ches, and this siman was suggested to us by Jeremy Scheinwitz of Woodbury, New York, as well as Yeshua Eisenberg. And they both suggested Ayin Ches is a child going uch. A child going uch. So here goes. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went uch that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman who converted since it didn't even require its own tevilah, and went uch again when the famine in the land entered its third year. Once again in slow motion. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went uch, child going uch, that must be on daf Ayin Ches. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went uch, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, which reminds us, the pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi convert states, Bani Mishi Yavaldu Lehem Dor Shlishi Yavu Lehem B'Kahal Hashem. Sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kahal of Hashem. A brisa questions, if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned, and vice versa? And answers, if sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said, Ben Rishon Mesheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the pasuk says, Doros, generations, and if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said, Osana Omdi Mal Har Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai. So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Uch, that took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, which reminds us that if Rabbi Yochan does not say uber ki yarech imo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother, how does it sit with Rava, who said, Nachus mu'berish nizgaira bana ein sarach tevila? If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require immersion. The child is not considered the thigh of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity. Why does the child not require its own tevilah? So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went ugh that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman who converted since it didn't even require its own tevilah, and went ugh again when the famine in the land entered its third year. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates David's efforts to determine what was the cause of a famine that ended up lasting 3 years. Eventually asked the Urim and Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul in that they did not eulogize Shaul properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. So once again, the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went ugh that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman who converted, since it didn't even require its own tevilah, and went ugh again when the famine in the land entered its third year. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazar. Dafayin Dalad. So the Simur Dafayin Dalad is a witness. So here goes. The expert witness. Witness. That must be more in Daf Ayin Dalad. Aid. The expert witness who is testifying that Maaser Rishon is prohibited to an Aral, just like it is to a Zar, which reminds us, the Gemara continues with attempts to answer the question whether an Aral may eat Maaser Sheni. It concludes that a Braisa that states that an Aral is prohibited to Maaser could be referring to Maaser Rishon, and it's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds Maaser Rishon asu Hazarim. Maaser Rishon is prohibited to non-Levim. Rashi explains that just as Rabbi Meir holds, that Maaser Rishon has an added level of Kedusha, in that it cannot be eaten by non-Levim, it is also prohibited to an Aral. Maaser Sheni, which is permitted even to non-Levim, would be permitted to an Aral as well. So the expert witness who was testifying that Maaseirishon is prohibited to an Aral, just like it is to a Zar, and was asked for the source that a Tame may not eat Truma, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Ayin Amun Aleph stated, "V'kol Tamei Mo Yoch B'Truma." All those who are Tamei may not eat Truma. The Gemara asks for the source for this halacha, and Rabbi Yochanan stated in the name of Rabbi Yishmael that the Pasuk states, "Ish Ish Mezer Aaron V'Hut Saruo Ozav B'Kachi Mo Yochol." A man from the offspring of Aaron who is a Matsora or a Zav, shall not eat from the Kachim until he becomes purified. Ezu Davar Sheshava Bazar Shal Aaron. What holy food is universally fit for all the offspring of Aaron alike, both men and women? You must say this is Truma, and the Pasuk is prohibiting it to a Tameh. So the expert witness who is testifying that Maaseirishon is prohibited to an Aaron, just like it is to a Zar, and was asked for the source that a Tameh may not eat Truma, fascinated the jury with a presentation about the three stages of becoming Tahor, Ti Maaseh Sheni, Truma, and Kadshim, which reminds the Gemara reconciles three contradictory psukim regarding purification, saying that the first pasuk is teaching that after Tevila, during the day, one becomes Tahor to eat Maaseh Sheni. The second pasuk is teaching that Tevil Yom becomes permitted to eat Truma after nightfall. The third pasuk is teaching that one becomes Tahor to eat Kadshim after bringing the atonement offering. The Gemara addresses why eating Truma is considered more stringent than eating Maaseh Sheni. Daf Ayin Hei. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Hei is an Amma Aretz. So here goes. The Amma Aretz, that must be more in Daf Ayin Hei. The Amma Aretz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tobled earlier, were now eating their Truma, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why three psukim are needed regarding the purification to eat Truma, and answers that all three are required to teach that there must be a Tevila, the person must wait until Arav Shemesh, until the sun sets, and that he can be a Bar Kapara and still eat after the sun sets and doesn't need to wait until he brings a carbon. So the Amma Aretz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tobled earlier, were now eating their Truma, passed through the ward filled with different types of Betsuei Daka, which reminds us, the Gemara lists what conditions qualify someone as a Betsuei Daka. So the Amma Aretz who arrived at the hospital just after sunset, when Tami Kohanim, who had tobled earlier, were now eating their Truma, passed through the ward filled with different types of Betsuei Daka, and was so proud he brought a box of tissues for his friend, who was a Krushavcha, to help wipe the mucus spilling from his nose. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, from where is it known that a kru shavcha, someone with a severed shavcha, refers to the male organ, and answers that the pasuk says kru shavcha, which indicates misha al yidei krisa shofech, that it refers to an organ that spills as a result of the severing, whereas prior to severing it was not spilling but was mekaleach, it was spouting. This excludes the nose, where both before and after the severing it spills its mucus. Ein Vav, so the Simmer Daf Ein Vav is an IV tube, an intravenous tube. So here goes. The Betsuei Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, that must be on Daf Ein Vav, intravenous tube. The Betsuei Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, which reminds us, Rosh Sheshes was asked, Betsuei Daka Kohen, Mahu B'Gior's Meshuchereres? Regarding a Betsuei Daka Kohen, what is the law regarding marrying a Gior's or Meshuchereres? Do we say that he remains in his kahuna level of Kedusha and is forbidden to her, or does he not remain in that level and is permitted to her? He answered that if Betsuei Daka Yisrael is permitted to marry a Nesina, then a Betsuei Daka Kohen does not remain in his level of Kedusha and may marry a Gior's or a freed slave woman. So the Betsuei Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor, which reminds us, when David went out to fight Goliath, Shaul wanted to know if David descended from Peretz or Zerach. If he descends from Peretz, he will be a king. Shalmelch Poretz lasos Zerach, for a king may break through Poretz, other people's fences, to make a path for himself, and no one can protest against him. If he descends from Zerach, Hashiva ba'almahavi, he will be merely Choshev. The reason Shaul asked about him is that Shaul saw that when he gave David his battle garments, they fit David, even though Shaul was taller than everyone. Since his garments fit David miraculously, Shaul asked if he was destined for Malchus. So the Betsuei Daka Kohen who married the Gior's nurse, who always hooked up his IV, hallucinated that he had a son named Peretz, dressed up in oversized battle armor, who'd go out and greet travelers with bread and water, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Doaka Adomi said to Shaul before he asked whether David is fit for Malchus or not, ask whether he's fit to marry into the Kahal, because he comes from Rus, who was a Moabi. When Avner responded that it was taught Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moabi v'lo Moavis, the Torah only prohibits the males and not the females of Ammon and Moab, Doa countered that when the Pasuk says Mamzer, does it not refer to a Mamzeris as well? And the Pasuk says Mitzri, does it not also refer to a Mitzris? Avner responded that it is different in the case of an Ammoni and Moabi, since the Torah explicitly said the reason is because they did not greet you with bread and water on the road when you were leaving Mitzrayim. It's the way for men to greet travelers with bread and water, but not for women to do so. Doeg continues to challenge Avner, and on the next daf, the issue is resolved. Daf Ein Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat. So here goes. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back, goat, that must be more in Daf Ein Zayin, A's. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back, to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition, which reminds us, continuing the account of Doeg's challenges to David's yichus, the Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim where in one pasuk, Amasa, who was married to David's sister, is referred to as the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, and another pasuk, his father is referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechiger Charbo Ki Yishmael, that Yeser girded his sword like Yishmaeli, and said, Kol mi she'enu shomei halacha zo yedaker becherev, whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword, for I have received a tradition from the base of Mishmol that the Torah prohibits Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck, which reminds us, Rav expanded, what's the meaning of that which is written, Patachtu Moserai, you've released my yoke straps. David said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shnei Moser Shehu Alai Pitachtem, the two straps were upon me, you have released, Rus HaMoaviah and Naam HaAmonis. Naam was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rechavam. Therefore, there were two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naam from Ammon. Now that the halach has been resolved, permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the Kahal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu released David from these yoke straps. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. Which reminds us, we have the Malchus, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis is fit for the kahuna. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman, Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.